You guys have been sending this to me, and so I wanted to make sure that I did a little bit of research on it. Apparently, there's a Tesla robot that attacked a factory worker slash engineer inside of one of the facilities. Take a look.
Just when you thought you heard it all, brace yourself for the bizarre. It's something that you might expect to see in the movie iRobot or The Terminator, but this scenario jumped right off the silver screen into a car factory. Chief Transportation Correspondent Mekay Beeler is here now. And Mekay, a new report was just released about a robot going rogue in a factory and injuring a worker.
Yeah, and drew blood.
Wow.
In the process. This is wild. All right, if this isn't the most bizarre thing, I really don't know what is. It is hard to believe this could happen in real life, but a software engineer was attacked by a malfunctioning robot. Yeah. It happened on the floor of the Tesla factory in Austin, Texas. That, according to an injury report submitted to federal officials and health authorities, while the attack actually happened 2 years ago, the outlandish incident has just now come to light. The robot reportedly attacked and just really acted out on a violent streak after the engineer disabled other robots and inadvertently left it on. Reports say the robot pinned the engineer and sank its metal claws into its back and arm, causing serious injuries, leaving a trail of blood on the floor. Now, the robots were designed to cut car parts from cast pieces of aluminum. The engineer was just programming the software and turned two of the other robots off to work on the machines. But the rogue robot was accidentally disregarded, unintentionally left operational, and perhaps displayed its dislike for the disabling of his Android associates. One can only wonder what in the world prompted the attack. You can't make this stuff up.
So it wasn't the actual humanoid robot, but it was actually an arm or a robot that was inside of a facility. I guess that he decided that he missed a step and didn't turn it off or didn't disable it all the way properly before he started to update the software and work on other robots. But that robot went rogue and allegedly pinned him down and then sank its metal claws inside of the engineer, which caused bodily harm and injury. And so, yeah, be very, very careful. I will keep an eye on this. I'm not sure how much sooner they obviously tried to bury it. But once people started getting their hands on it, they wanted to make sure that they released it to the general public. But I will keep my eye on this type of thing, making sure that you guys stay up to date on our upcoming demise from all of these rogue robots and these AIs and all of this stuff that's happening out here in these streets. In addition to that, Apple Watch sales are back on. Let me bring you guys up to date on what's going on with that.
This morning in the U.S., Wednesday in the U.S., Apple was granted an emergency stay till about the middle of January. This means that they have a stay until the U.S. Customs makes a decision on a software fix that Apple submitted to the government. And it's up to the U.S. Customs Agency to determine whether this fix is sufficient enough to no longer infringe the patents of Masimo. So the next steps is Apple's going to continue to file appeal after appeal until every federal entity is willing to grant the Apple Watch back on sale. Now, the ultimate grant will be if the U.S. Customs Agency does approve that fix. There's a hearing scheduled for the 12th on that. And then on the 15th, there is another big approval that Apple will be waiting for from the federal court circuit in D.C.
So essentially, Apple was put on pause. Now, we know that Apple is the most valuable company in the entire world, valued in the trillions. And they had basically had been slapped with a ban. Now, I did a little bit more research into this, and so I want to give you guys a little bit of update of why this happened in the first place. So Masimo is a company that Apple allegedly called and tapped into when they said that they wanted to work with based off of their proprietary technology as far as the different sensors prior to Apple releasing some of the technologies inside of their Apple Watches, right? And so they tapped this company and they said, hey, we want to work with you guys in order to make sure that some of the technologies that you're putting together, we definitely want to adopt some of that. And then next thing you know, for whatever reason, Apple didn't work with them, but they started allegedly poaching the people that work from them all the way up to 30 different employees that work for Masimo, okay? Masimo was a separate independent company that was developing proprietary technology. And even the person that, well, they're alleging that they poached them, but all 30 of these employees at some point quit, and then they wound up taking it more than double as far as compensation. This is what's being reported, even to the point to they were getting millions in stock options inside of Apple to move over from Masimo over into Apple Technologies, which they then somehow, some way was able to develop some of the technologies that they have inside of the Apple Watch today. That was then also published under some of the employees that used to work for Masimo. Later on, once they started getting to Apple, Masimo sued, taking too long. Then they went another route that then eventually led to the ban of Apple being able to sell Apple Watches until they come to some kind of agreement. Apple has now gotten the release from some form of a federal court that allows for them to continue to sell the watches. And so I am very much interested in what's happening, because it's usually a situation where the big dog wins. Big money take little money. But now we're starting to see how things are playing out, in which it seems like the playing field is a little bit more level. Maybe not so much, because everything is taking so long in court. But Apple has now been able to sell watches again, those same watches. So this is a hot gift right now, simply because nobody knows what's going to happen inside of the future. But that temporary ban was lifted, not by the Biden administration, but some form of a federal court that allows for Apple to continue to sell the watches. So I am going to stay up to date on what's happening with that, and I'll keep you guys hip to what's happening in these streets, man. And then last but not least, Donald Trump is allegedly banned in Maine. Take a look.
For the second time in less than a month, a state has ruled that former President Donald Trump was in violation of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment because of his actions on January 6th, and therefore ineligible to run for President of the United States. Maine's Secretary of State, Shanna Bellows, a Democrat, ruling that Trump should be removed from the state's ballot. In her decision, she writes, "The weight of the evidence makes clear that Mr. Trump was aware of the tinder laid by his multi-month effort to delegitimize a Democratic election and then chose to light a match." The ruling by Bellows is similar to the decision made by Colorado Supreme Court that also declared Trump ineligible. And while both rulings are unprecedented, former President Trump's name will remain on the ballot for now while the court process plays out and appeals are made. But Trump's culpability related to January 6th is something the U.S. Supreme Court will likely still have to deal with. Trump's campaign called the ruling a partisan attack. "We are witnessing in real time the attempted theft of an election and the disenfranchisement of the American voter," said Trump campaign spokesman Stephen Chung. An attack Bellows rejected.
"My obligations to the Constitution and rule of law come before any other consideration. No other factors could weigh on that decision."
Challenges like these have popped up across the country, and most have been denied, including in Arizona, Minnesota, and most recently, Michigan. Hours after the Maine decision, the Secretary of State in California announced that the former president would remain on the ballot in that state after facing calls to remove him.
So essentially, Maine has become the second state after Colorado to make sure that they remove Trump off the primary ballot. It said Maine on Thursday disqualified Donald Trump from the state ballot in next year's U.S. presidential primary election, becoming the second state to bar the former president for his role in a January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Maine Secretary of State Shanna Bellows, a Democrat, concluded that Trump, the front runner for the Republican presidential nomination, incited an insurrection when he spread false claims about voter fraud in the 2020 election and then urged his supporters to march on the Capitol to stop lawmakers certifying a vote. It said the U.S. Constitution does not tolerate an assault on the foundations of our government, which is what she wrote in a 34-page ruling. The decision can be appealed to the state superior court, which I believe that it will. And Bellows suspended her ruling until the court rules on the matter. Trump's campaign said it would quickly file an objection to the atrocious decision. All right. So essentially what you're seeing happen is that they're trying to create a ripple effect across multiple states. In California, he will be on the ballot in California and in Michigan. But for Colorado and Maine, even though Maine has suspended its ruling until the Supreme Court participate, what's basically happening is that they're forcing the Supreme Court to deal with this problem by forcing their hand, because you can't have a bunch of little states then saying that, oh, he's not going to be able to appear on the primary ballot in our state, right? You have to give the people the ability to vote for the person that they feel like is best for the job. But obviously, we see that going into 2024 is nothing has changed, and people are still going to be doing what they want to do, and they're trying to rob people of their ability to vote for who they want to vote for in the election, and we're still going to be monitoring this going into 2024, all right?